And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Very Special Village, was written by Will Lorin.
Waiter! Oh, waiter!
Hello. You like the table? Pick anyone you like. I'll be right with you.
No. I'd like to speak to the owner, Mr. Maggett.
Oh, you want Eli? Mm-hmm. Sure. See over there the man sitting alone? Mm-hmm. That's Mr. Maggett. Eli! Somebody to see you!
Thank you. Mr. Maggett?
Yes?
My name's Coleman. I've just come down from Tel Aviv for a visit.
Oh, that's nice. You'll excuse my not getting up.
Why, surely.
Please have a chair.
Thank you.
You're an American, aren't you? Well, how do you like Israel?
Very much, but I'm not a tourist, Mr. Maggett. I'm a newspaperman doing a series of articles on life in Israel, and I've heard so much about this little town.
Yes, Shah Manasseh is a very special village.
Very special village. You know, those were the very words used by your friend in describing this place. The gentleman in the Malbin office in Tel Aviv, Mr. Cohen?
Albert Cohen, uh-huh. Of course.
Well, I was going to come down a couple of weeks ago, but Mr. Cohen suggested I be here today, the 19th. A special occasion, he said.
Occasion?
Yes, isn't today the first anniversary of this cafe?
Oh, imagine with all Albert has to do, he remembered that. Yes, I mean, the cafe is a year old today, but that's not, how do you say, newsworthy. The real story here is the village and the people in it. There's no place like Shah Manasseh in the whole world.
So I gather. Well, let's start at the beginning.
Hmm? The beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this town used to be a British Air Force base, and when the Joint Distribution Committee saw the possibilities here, the building's already standing and all...
Excuse me. Hmm? Mr. Maggett, how do you come to be here? I couldn't help but notice a slight difference between you and the...
Between me and everyone else in the village.
Yes. Let's start at your beginning.
Well, that would be a little over a year ago in Tel Aviv. It seemed more like an ending at that time. You see, I had been in a hospital there for more than 2 years. And one day, Albert Cohen came to see me.
Eli.
Hello, Mr. Cohen.
How are you feeling?
Oh, fine.
The doctor says you can be discharged this week. That's wonderful news.
Wonderful.
Oh, come on now, Eli. Brighten up a little. You never know what's ahead for you.
Mr. Cohen, don't think I'm, well, ungrateful. I know if it hadn't been for Malbin, I couldn't have come to Israel and I couldn't have gotten the treatment I needed, the operations. But...
Yes?
What can I look forward to? Learning a new trade at my age? After all, I'm 45. There's only one thing I know. I mean, only one thing I'd really be any good at.
You mean managing a cafe?
Yes. And don't worry, I have no illusions about going back to that. After all, in my present condition, well, that's out of the question.
But that is what you'd most like to do.
Mr. Cohen, it's nice of you to be sympathetic, but you don't have to humor me.
Eli, tell me about the cafe you used to have in Warsaw.
It was beautiful.
Was it your own?
Yes. I was the owner and manager. It was one of the finest in Warsaw. Really, it was. Some people said one of the best in Europe. The food was famous. And the music made
music?
Yes. We had a string orchestra. They played Viennese waltzes, things like that. And the atmosphere was, you know, friendly. It was a sort of meeting place, like in Paris. Very continental, you know?
Eli...
Oh, well, that's that.
Suppose it were possible for you to have a cafe again here in Israel.
Me? You mean someone wants a manager for a cafe?
Oh, more than that. In this particular village I have in mind, they want someone who could open his own cafe, own it, and run it.
I don't understand. You know my situation better than anyone else. You know I have no money, and you know my physical condition.
Well, about the money, you know the Joint Distribution Committee has a special fund for rehabilitation. We call it the Constructive Loan Project. People with disabilities like yours can make long-term loans and open up a workshop or a store or whatever they know best. So why not a cafe?
I don't know what to think. You mean it's really possible?
Of course it's possible. That is, depending on...
Me? If I'm up to it?
Well, I know you're up to it. In this case, it depends on if you really want to undertake it.
The answer is yes.
Well, now, Eli, wait a minute.
Yes!
But you don't understand. These are not normal conditions. You might not be happy in Shah Al-Manash.
Where?
It's a small town about an hour from here.
Hmm. How small?
1,400 people.
Oh, that's big enough. How many other cafes are there in the village?
None.
And you think I might not be happy there? With no competition?
Eli, the people in Shah Al-Manash want a cafe very much. It's the one thing they lack, and it would make them very happy. But it would take more than just a competent cafe manager to go there. It needs a man with patience and understanding, someone sensitive to other people's difficulties. I think you're just the man for the job. And yet...
Yes?
Well, you've had a hard life yourself. We're concerned about the villagers, of course, but we're concerned about you, too. After all, you're still a young man, and, well, you might not feel at home there.
Mr. Korn, what is so special about Shah Al-Manash?
We call it the Village of the Aged.
Hmm?
Yes. Every one of the 1,400 people there is over 65 years of age.
Well, Mr. Coleman, the whole thing was incomprehensible to me. I'd heard of old age homes, but an old age town? I didn't know what to think. All I knew was I wanted to get back to work. But Mr. Cohen wouldn't let me say yes, sight unseen, so to speak. He insisted that I come here for a few days, look around, see how I liked it, and then I was to let him know. Well, there was a lot I wanted to know about Shah Al-Manash, so I looked for a talkative man. And I knew just where to look.
Once over lightly, you said?
That's right.
No haircut?
No, just a shave, please.
All right. You don't trust me. I could give you a good haircut.
I trust you, but all I want is a shave.
Too bad. It's a golden opportunity.
It is?
Not for you, for me. Most of my customers don't have any hair left. I'm getting out of practice. Lean back, please.
How many barbers do you have here?
Two. We have two of everything in this town. Two grocers, two doctors, two butchers. That way nobody has to work more than a few hours. At a time, I mean. That's on the theory that we tire easily at our age.
Well, don't you?
Well, now that you mention it, yes.
Wouldn't it be better if... I mean, it's none of my business, of course, but maybe you'd like to retire.
Not work at all and get old before my time? Don't you know work keeps a man young? Especially the work he knows best.
That's true.
Here in Shah Al-Manash, everybody works at what he knows. Hold still, please. Me, I have been a barber 45 years.
And still going strong. Wonderful. With me, some days I get up in the morning...
Hold still, please.
...and my hand shakes so I wouldn't dare shave myself.
Your hand shakes at your age. Now, why should your hands shake at your age? At my age, it's understandable. I am 72. So, naturally, my hand shakes a little. My eyes are not what they were. Hold still, please. You're a nervous fellow, aren't you?
Not exactly.
Look, mister, my hand shakes, except when I am holding a razor. Just relax. You don't trust me?
I trust you.
And was it a good shave?
Oh, it was excellent. I've been a regular customer ever since. And you know, he was right. Everywhere I looked, it was the same thing. People who anywhere else would be retired, whether they wanted to be or not, were practicing their former profession, at least part of the time, as much as their strength permitted.
And doing well at it, I'll bet.
Oh, I should say so. You see, the assumption here is that when people get old, that's no reason to institutionalize them, to take them out of the community. On the contrary, that's just when people should be permitted to feel they're part of the community.
To feel useful.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me, do the villagers do everything for themselves?
Almost everything. The only institutional part of life here is the communal dining rooms and kitchens. After all, many of the people are over 80 and not able to cook for themselves. But from every other viewpoint, why, they run their own stores, workshops, library, the post office.
Eli!
Yes?
Can you see the board from where you're sitting?
Yes.
I'm in trouble.
I've been watching your game out of the corner of my eye. Move the Queen's Knight.
But where? Oh, you mean this way.
That's right. Now he's in trouble.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a businessman, is it wise to play favorites among your customers?
Oh, I don't play favorites. In a little while, the other fellow will give me a call. Now, where was I?
Oh, you were saying how the villagers here do things for themselves.
Oh, yes.
Well, tell me, what decided you in favor of moving here?
Nothing specific, really. Something about the attitude toward life that I saw here. A kind of cheerful normalcy, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the second day I was here, just out of curiosity, I wandered over to the dental clinic. I looked in here and peeked in there. Nobody seemed to mind.
All right, Jacob, you can sit down again. Open wide, please. Feel anything?
No.
Good, then the Novocaine is working already.
You're going to pull it now?
That's right.
But maybe that's not necessary.
Oh, it's necessary. Believe me, Jacob, it won't hurt a bit.
But I hate to lose it.
Now, why should this tooth be an exception?
That's just it. It's the last one I have that's really my own, and I've become attached to it.
Oh, nonsense. You'll feel better without it. Now, open, please.
Dr. Liebman.
Call me Theodore.
Theodore, can't we talk this over?
Open, please. I'm just going to probe a little. Now, what were you saying?
Well, before you probe any more, if the tooth really has to come out, maybe I should go to Haifa and have it done.
Why?
Well, the last time I had a tooth pulled, 30 years ago maybe, I remember it well. It took a lot of strength to pull it. Strong roots, you know. No offense, doctor. But maybe a younger man should do it.
Perhaps you're right. Open a moment. All right. You're done.
You mean I should go to Haifa?
I just saved you the bus fare. Here's your tooth.
My tooth? But how is that possible? I didn't feel a thing.
Well, thanks for the compliment.
But the last time, the roots were so strong.
How long ago?
Oh, I see what you mean. May I keep the tooth as a memento?
If you like. But, you know something? This tooth, it isn't really a symbol of your lost youth. It's just a tooth. You're as young as you feel, Jacob. And you're going to feel fine now.
Oh, I feel very young, Doctor. In fact,
yes?
Inside of my mouth, I feel just like a newborn baby.
A couple of days later, I'd made up my mind. And I made a long-distance phone call.
Hello?
Mr. Cohen? This is Eli Magid.
Oh, how are you, Eli? Where are you calling from?
From Shah Al-Manasseh.
Oh, well, what do you think? Remember, you're under no obligation. If you don't want to stay there, it's all right. I understand. We can find you something else.
Mr. Cohen, I'd like to stay here.
You're sure now?
Positive. I don't know how much good I'll be to the villagers here, but I'll tell you something.
Yes?
They've done me a world of good already. You know what they say when they see me in the street?
What?
Hello, Sonny. Isn't that nice? And so, here I am among the young and hot.
And doing a wonderful job, evidently. The cafe's lovely. This pastry is delicious.
Well, have another piece.
Thank you. All in all, the atmosphere is very, very pleasant.
If I had a little music here, it would be almost continental.
It seems quite continental already. I've heard 5 languages spoken since I came in.
Oh, that's true. We have people here from all over the world. It sometimes makes life a little complicated.
Oh, like how?
Well, last week, for instance, Dr. Herschel, our rabbi, was here having a glass of tea with me. He seemed a little abstracted. And from time to time, he would take a little book out of his pocket glance at it, and then get lost in thought. Rabbi. Rabbi?
Hmm?
Your tea is getting cold.
Oh, that's all right. Thank you, Eli.
You know, it's remarkable how you study all the time.
Study?
Yes, that book you keep looking at.
Oh, forgive me, Eli. I know I shouldn't read sitting here at the table with you.
Oh, don't give it a thought. You know, I remember my father telling me, oh, years ago, that to be a rabbi means to be a perennial student. All your life, he said. The Talmud, the Bible. And I must say, you're a living example. Always reading, always studying. I beg your pardon, did I say something amusing?
In a way. If you only knew what it is I'm studying.
Not the Bible?
Not tonight. You know, Eli, one reason I was given the post here was because I spoke four languages, and not too badly.
Four languages. Mm-hmm. That reminds me. Excuse me a moment. Max!
You want me?
Yes. In my office on the desk is a book the committee brought in last night. It's for Dr. Herschel. Will you bring it here, please?
Surely.
Oh, and Max, bring the aspirin, too, will you?
Yeah.
You have a headache, Eli?
Who, me? No, not at all.
But the aspirin.
Yeah. You were saying, Dr. Herschel, about being a linguist. And that book you're studying.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, now, actually, my languages have been very useful here. Hebrew, well, that's for Friday nights, of course. Polish for Monday nights. German, Tuesdays. Czech, Sunday nights. Although I don't speak that too well. But some time ago, a committee came to see me.
A committee, of course.
Hmm?
Excuse me, what did they want?
Well, it seems that they represented some 150-odd Hungarians who said they felt left out of things.
May I see that book, Rabbi? Basic Hungarian Grammar.
Oh, dear. Once upon a time, Eli, languages came easily to me. But now I'm not as young as I used to be. And really, for me to learn irregular verbs now in Hungarian at my age, what can I do?
Here you are, Eli. Dr. Herschel's book and, if you please, the aspirin.
Thank you, Max.
My book?
Dr. Herschel, I don't quite know how to tell you this, but...
Tell me what?
Last night, a committee came to see me to give you a message. They felt, well, shy about approaching you directly.
Another committee?
Yes. On behalf of the 81 Yemenites in the village.
Eli, what is the book?
It's called Arabic Made Easy. The one or two aspirins, Rabbi.
Oh, poor man. He has his problems.
And pleasures, too. The fact is, Dr. Herschel says he wouldn't live anywhere else in the world now. He enjoys performing the marriage ceremonies here.
Marriages here? In the village of the aged?
Oh, you'd be amazed. That's one of the nice things about Shah Amenashe. People come here old and tired. Many of them alone, widowed, without roots. Once they get here, well, life suddenly becomes pleasanter. There's a solidity here that many of them have never had. And companionship.
Yes, but a romance.
Oh, it's never too late for romance. You see that couple over there?
Huh? Oh, the last table?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's Mr. and Mrs. Heller. He has 14 grandchildren, and she has 9.
Not the same number?
No, they've only been married 2 months. To each other, that is.
Wonderful.
Yes, I look forward to these marriages. They usually come here to celebrate.
Look, I think the other chess player is trying to get your attention.
Yeah, what did I tell you? The pawn. Move the pawn.
Which one?
You only have 2 left, and the other one's blocked.
Ah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Your customers have come to depend on you.
Oh, well, I'm not deluding myself. It's the cafe, really. It's a form of therapy for them. A place to relax, have a glass of tea, a game of chess. Form committees.
Hmm? What for?
For everything you can think of. Once, somebody wanted me to put apple strudel on the menu. So he couldn't come and ask me himself.
No, a committee was formed.
Like the UN, huh?
I tell you, Mr. Coleman, the world would be a very nice place if there was as much good feeling in the UN as there is here in Shah al-Manasha. These are very sweet people, you know.
Yes, yes.
That's why I say I'm not deluding myself.
About what?
About why they really come here to the cafe. They go out of their way to spend their few pennies of pocket money here because it's their way of being kind to me.
I
think perhaps they pretend to enjoy it here more than they really do because of my disability. You understand? Well,
you know, I suspect you underestimate yourself, Mr. Maggett.
Oh, I don't think so. Nor do I overestimate my villagers. They're really very special.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, what exactly is the nature of your infirmity?
Oh, no need to be delicate about it, Mr. Coleman. You noticed I haven't gotten up from this table all evening.
Yes?
It's because I couldn't if I wanted to. You see, I'm paralyzed from the waist down. Well, Mr. Coleman, you must be sure and walk around the village tomorrow and meet some of our young folk.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Also, I see that it's a couple of minutes after 9 o'clock.
So? Not past your bedtime, I'm sure.
No, but isn't 9 o'clock the time for...
For what?
I almost let the cat out of the bag.
What cat? And for that matter, out of what bag?
Right on schedule, thank heaven.
Eli?
Yes, Max?
There is a committee here to see you.
Again? Since when do they have to be announced? All right, ask them to come over.
Right away.
What did I tell you, Mr. Coleman? They formed another committee. It's really very charming. Hello. Well. Who's the chairman tonight? You, Abram?
Yeah, Abram. You the chairman.
I'm waiting for it to be quiet. We agreed that this time it would be quiet.
All right. Quiet, everybody.
Quiet? What's going on?
All right, Abram. Go on.
Eli, this is a very special occasion. And unaccustomed as I am to speaking in public...
Now, Abram?
Not yet. As I say, unaccustomed as I am...
Get to the point, Abram.
Yes. Well, the point is, it's just a year ago today that you came here to Shah Manasha and opened your cafe. We wanted to find some way to... I mean, well, we got you a little gift. The thing is, we didn't know what to get you because... Because... You tell him, Bertha.
Because we couldn't possibly get you anything that could repay you for the pleasure you've brought us. Not just the cafe, Eli. So much as, well, you being here. And because we love you.
Now?
Yes, Max. Now.
What? What? What's this?
A phonograph, Eli. And what do you call that, Abram?
A loudspeaker.
Yes, and a lot of records. I know it is not like it used to be in your cafe in the old days.
Oh,
but
it's beautiful, Beth.
It's continental, Eli.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
It's very continental. Mm. Thank you all.
Well, Bertha, would you like to dance?
I think that would be very nice, Abram.
You see, Mr. Coleman, as I say, it's a very special village.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Judah J. Shapiro, Director of the Department of Cultural and Educational Reconstruction of the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany. Dr. Shapiro.
I was in Israel in 1949... when the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, with the support of the United Jewish Appeal, inaugurated the Malpin program about which you heard today. I was there again in 1951 and accompanied the staff in its survey of the present site of Kfar Menashe. I also participated in the opening ceremonies of this very special village in 1953. And so I am glad to add my testimony to the message of today's presentation of the eternal light. It seems to me that the story of the Jewish people in the past two decades is woven with the threads of calamity and indomitable spirit. The drama of this era is not only the distress and affliction visited upon the Jews, but their continuous and successful quest of normalcy. The richness of today's story lies in its revelation of normal people seeking normal lives against great odds after much deprivation in the face of seeming hopelessness. For 10 years now, following the end of the war, the touchstone of Jewish life has been reconstruction. In the words of the prophet Joel, to restore the years that the locust hath eaten. Malben are the initial letters in Hebrew standing for Institution for the Care of Handicapped Immigrants. Its program includes care of TB patients, invalids, the chronically ill, retarded children, and the aged. Kfar Menashe is only one of many special programs. The tasks of reconstruction are not limited to creating new things to replace the old. In a large measure, it means the prolongation and the effective functioning of the old, particularly human beings. One of the great social contributions of our time is the work of continuing the active and productive life of the aged. We know scientifically that life is longer for those who are productively occupied. A society is healthier when its respect for the aged takes the form of offering them opportunities for continued usefulness. That is true here, and it is also true in Israel, as represented in this very special village.
Thank you, Dr. Shapiro. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Very Special Village, was written by Will Lorin. The music was written by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Roy Shield. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Alexander Scourby, Theo Goetz, Leon Janney, Roger DeCoven, Ed Jerome, Mercer McLeod, Louis Oren, Guy Rep, Santos Ortega, and Nina Hansen. This is Mel Brandt. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.